name is Mo Reese. More with Mo is brought to you by the fine people over at JulieLand.com. As always, I am joined by the greatest photographer in the world, Mr. Richard Avery.
Hello, hello, hello.
Today, my guest is a guy that I met a couple years ago through Hall of Fame performer Kylie Ireland. It is her husband, Mr. Andy Appleton. Welcome, Andy.
Hey, how you doing?
So, Andy, I brought you in because I went to one of your gallery shows a year and a half ago. And you do what I'm going to call graffiti art.
Yep.
But I'm going to let you describe it a little bit better for us.
Oh, God. Okay, straight in there.
Yeah. What the fuck is it?
What the what fuck? Well, to me, it's probably one of the greatest art forms. And when I say art, I'm not talking about photography before you start. I've always been a bit of since just growing up, I've been really into art. Hated the period of art that kind of, you know, the new modernist cubism, all the kind of stuff that, you know, is just kind of like you've got to sit there and, you know, and go, okay, what am I looking at? Remind me. To me, graffiti is... it's true art. It's not something that any, you know, everybody can do. It's not something, you know, it's something that you instantly look at it and go, wow. Like you're looking at a, you know, I'll compare it to the greats, you know, if you're looking at some of the greatest paintings in history, you look at it, you don't go, okay, what am I looking at? And what's the artist trying to say? You stand back and go, how the hell did he do that? That's amazing. Yeah. And that to me is what graffiti art is. You know, whenever you see good graffiti, because there's a lot of crap out there with most like art forms.
This is just the stuff that I spray paint on the side of the wall. It says, fuck you.
No, actually, that's what I wanted to ask, is what is the difference between, say, your artwork as a graffiti artist versus a common, you know, street thug that's going through and tagging things?
Well, tagging is normally just a guy's name. You know, it's just kind of like, Steve. Yeah. Steve was here. It's just somebody. But, you know, graffiti art, there's so many different variations of it nowadays. But the stuff I like, I mean, I'm old school. You know, I like the people who can draw, you know, with a spray paint, with a spray can, you know, characters and words and with beautiful colours. And the, ideally, the bigger, the better, you know, because some of the stuff that you see, especially around LA, by just using, only because it's LA-based, using, like, Risk, who's a very big
and Banksy, of course.
Well, Banksy's more street art, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, he started off as a graffiti artist, by his own admission, he wasn't very good at it. So, you know,
but a lot of that kind of art, the street kind of like you're talking about the street whole concept. First of all, I wanted to say, but what I feel, my definition of art, first of all, I always tell people is anything that moves you emotionally, good or bad.
Yeah.
Like, you could sit there and go, this is the biggest piece of shit in the world. Well, hey, I succeeded because I made you feel.
Yeah, I get that. And there's, it's like when you see, what's the guy who put a shark in a tank? What's his name? Damien Hirst.
Okay.
You know, and he, what an amazing artist. And it's just kind of like, okay, I mean, yes. I mean, it must be really hard to put a shark in a tank.
That must with be, your bare hands.
With your, you know, it, is that art? Well, yeah, because it creates all this emotion. But to me, my definition of art is, it's, I'll quote Carl Pilkington, something nice for your eyes to look at.
Well, I'm going to come
and
with the most...
And he's such a great philosopher.
Oh, such a great... Well, he said about Damien Hirst, is he an artist or is he a fishmonger?
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm going to come up with the most obscure reference to art that I was stood by. An episode of Murphy Brown. There we go. Yes. Anyhow, she had an artist that lived with her that was a painter or whatever, and there was an episode where he had a gallery open where he had painted a ceiling, and there was a tarp over the ceiling, and all these art critics walk into the room, and the tarp's still on the ceiling. They walk around, and they go, oh, it's an empty space, and they start critiquing this big, white, empty space.
Yeah.
Then they realize that they're the art, and then he goes, no, and he pulls the tarp, and it falls down over them, and they're like, oh, and this is our unveiling, and they make such a big deal that they think it is, not realizing that the art's actually on the ceiling and that he had painted something. And that's how obscure things get with art, with how people choose to go, this is what art is, which I think most of it's bullshit.
And it is a very modern definition of art. Because if you go back to, you know, Da Vinci or, the Sistine Chapel, and, you know, that was art was, okay, we haven't invented photography yet, so this is what I'm looking at.
Exactly.
And you can go to the other, and people go, wow, that's a...
It's a reflection of the times and the technology that's going on. Because, like, I read one time years ago, somebody said to me, the true artist today is computer programmers. And I couldn't argue with it. I kind of said, yeah, you're kind of right in a way, because that's the technology today it's being used. Back then it was watercolors or oils or something like that. And all these different things, and you can create whatever you're going to.
I mean, you could, but you could argue that anybody doing anything is art. A guy who builds a house, you know, a bricklayer.
Yeah,
he's an artist because look, he's built this house, and it's just kind of like he doesn't see himself as an artist. He's well, I'll just build. But then if you take, as I've seen in some art galleries, you know, somebody will build like four or five bricks together in a big empty room, and people go, "Do you see what he's trying to say?" It's just like, "What is that?"
He's saying it's just a bunch of wankers and fuck
no,
off.
No, I don't.
But no, but here's my. Now you got me going because I got experiences with this thing. Is that I'm a big fan about. I didn't know anything about art growing up. Like there was a photographer, but I didn't think about it as art. I just thought about, hey, I want to get laid and take pictures of naked girls. Honestly, that's really what it was. But it's like. Until I met my best friend and he taught me everything I know about art. And my thing about art, and I've told you about this, about it's about coming up with something, an idea that nobody's done or your way of seeing something and creating it. But to me, and I yell at people all the time, a true artist, though, is somebody who's, it's about the body of work. You can't judge somebody on one show, one painting, one exhibition. That's why I tell people, you come at me in 30, 40 years and we'll see where you're at and see what you're still doing. My best friend, his partner, is 90 years old and still doing the best shit ever and is world famous and still creating like the greatest shit ever. 90 years old. How can you like... And so there's some... I have my other friend who's been doing it for 25, 30 years now. She's been doing it. I've known her since she was 16 and she's been doing it a long... And now I see her body of work and it's like, wow, okay, that's something. But so many people in this day and age, I do one painting. I do put a pile of bricks here. Yeah. I'm an artist. Or I do one photo. I'm an artist. Like, no, no.
But we were talking about that earlier. I mean, that's a society that we live in. People don't really care what you've done. It's what you're doing next. Well, this is my new thing. No, but what's next? Yeah. It's just kind of like, well, can you just appreciate what I'm doing right now? And then we'll worry about that. And we live in such a, you know, disposable society, you know?
And the thing about it is one time I went to an exhibition in a gallery show down in Dallas with a bunch of rich oil Dallas people, like money up the butt, basically. And we sold these few prints for like $10,000 each. It was like, this is cool. I was like, wow. But these rich people, what I found was like, they all buy art like they're buying fucking Louis Vuitton bags. They just, they don't care about the art. They don't care about, they just want to be able to say, I own a Warhol or I own this. Or they're a bunch of label whores basically. Uh-huh. And I just, as opposed to the real people who appreciate and love art and live with the art. And
well, like, that's one thing about graffiti art that's a whole different thing than go. Now, I saw your work in a gallery. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I would imagine that you've done things that are on walls, on freight trams, things like that that may still be there.
Have you seen the side of your car today?
Yeah,
exactly. That may still be there. Could be there for 5 hours. It could be there for 5 years.
I have one left. There is one down on Melrose that's still there. It's the only one. It's the only one that's still there.
Tell us where. We'll go find it. Melrose and...
Is it Houston? It's Melrose and it's...
Blocks from here.
Yeah. It's it's on the floor. Oh,
tell me.
It's Houston. Is it Houston? No, it's not Houston.
Which way? East or west? From you know where
you're don't start me with American directions. Okay. I get confused.
But 3 blocks west of La Brea, I think.
That is not Siri. That is Kylie Ireland. It's like,
here's La Brea, right here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, cool. Okay, cool.
Now, how do you feel about the fact that things that you've created are now gone because somebody's come over and painted over it, decided that it wasn't good, they put the gray wall back up, things like that?
No, it comes with the territory. Exactly. If you do graffiti, you know what the rules are. You know that it might be there for ages. I mean, I don't do really bringing risk up again. I don't do these monumental pieces that taking 4 or 5 days. I'd be gutted if I did something for 4 or 5 days that was commissioned by, you know, LA City Council, and then I came back the next day and some guy gone, whatever, that's right, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, but having said that, because obviously a lot of stuff, not so much now, but with Banksy's work, I mean, his original, when he first started, it was really guerrilla. I mean, it would be up and then gone, whereas now it's up and then somebody will cut it out and sell it on eBay for $200,000 or whatever. But if I was making the kind of money he's making now, I wouldn't care if it was there for 10 minutes, 10 hours.
Right. Exactly.
Did you see that? Did you hear the thing he did in New York a couple months ago?
Yeah, yeah.
Where he sold the prints?
The prints. Yeah, that was part of a show he did on the street.
Yeah,
and
he just sold prints. People thought it was like a joke. People were like super cheap. And
$60 each. Yeah, and one guy bought like three, and they had street value of $25,000 each.
I know.
And he bought them for $60, and it was.
I was in New York literally the week after, and I was like so pissed. Okay. I was like, fuck.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, I just absolutely thought it was so great that he did that, though. I don't know. I love shit like that.
Banksy's one of those. I mean, I've always loved Banksy. You know, going back in the day, yeah. There was a whole Bristol scene that he was part of. There was like Massive Attack and Portishead and Banksy, and you know, and this whole art scene, whether it be music or came out of Bristol, and I spent a lot of time down south and saw some of his original stuff.
Right.
And what was great about Banksy is he wasn't the best artist in the world. He's a lot better now than he was than he was then. He wasn't, but it was what he was saying. It was the words. The words were the art.
No.
Along with it was just, it was hilarious, the stuff that he came up with. And I was instantly hooked on him.
Yeah, but that's his stuff. To me, that's my thing about great music, great art, great anything that's creative like that. I always say, first of all, keep it simple, because the simplest thing lasts the longest.
Yeah.
I always say, everybody can hum a Beatles tune, but I dare you to try to hum a Frank Zappa tune. Ain't gonna happen. and I think it's also, it's sometimes it's not, like I've known photographers through the years are technically can just run circles around me, that I know guys are just don't know shit about a camera, but creatively they have an eye, they have the passion, and that's really what it comes down to, and creating and thinking and then expressing themselves and not talking about it. You know, I'm about talk. And it's action. And it's like, hey, I got this idea for this thing. And people talk about it all the time. I want to do this. I want to do that. Well, then go do it. And people don't. And I think
I am seriously, I mean,
I think something like Banksy was doing shit. Even it wasn't good, but he was still doing it.
Yeah. It was the two fingers up to the arts world that the art world embraced without knowing it. That was because I remember getting his first book and I was just kind of like, okay, he's basically just saying that the art world is just, you're all a bunch of tossers. Yeah. Keep buying my book. Yeah. And it's just like, well, we'd need to. And keep buying my, this. And one of the famous ones he did where it was just, you know, a stick drawing in a frame with the price tag attached to it. Yeah. And go, and there's a speech bubble and it's like, how much? Yeah. You know, and it went for like, $250,000.
And I think also like
he's taking the piss out of you.
Yeah, I know. That's the same thing. Yeah, I knew, like, I'm not a huge art person. My best friend knows everybody and everything. But I used to play. One of the other artists that makes me think of is way back before it was Basquiat. He was the same kind of thing. Yeah, kind of shit he created. It was all about, he's just doing his thing, and everybody else seemed to just all of a sudden find it. And of course, it went through the roof after he died, which it always does.
Uh-huh. Of course, it does.
Yeah. I always said, I'll be rich and famous when I'm dead and gone.
Won't we all?
And
because I am stealing this shit, I'm coming over here. And
it's
sorry.
It all belongs to Julie. She's gonna sell it all and send her kids.
I'll race over.
Send her kids to Stanford. That's the plan.
Well, that's gonna.
It's a plan.
Now, okay. So you have nothing to sell later on in life. So you know your heirs are not going to be making a fortune off of your painting on Melrose.
No.
So what you do is, technically, it's illegal when you go out to just a random space. It's a public building or a private building, an abandoned building.
Or your car.
Or my car. Exactly. Car, yeah. And I'm sure you could do an amazing paint job on the 98 Honda with a Hello Kitty magnet that was placed there by Phoenix Marie on the back. But that being said, when you go out and do it, what's the tools of your trade? Are you showing up with a couple rattle cans and hoping for the best? What are you doing there? What's a night when you do this? Or a
nine
day when you do this?
9 times out of 10, there's a lot of pre-planning. Mm-hmm. When I do, it always starts off with stuff because I draw whenever I've got downtime. I'm drawing. And that goes back to when I was 4 years old and my dad gave me an Asterix book and I was like, wow, these characters are really cool. I need to draw things like this. And I've drawn ever since. So whenever I've got downtime, I draw. And I'm not the kind of person that if you turn around to me now and said, okay, I want you to draw me a a guy in a hat holding a pitchfork, whatever. Mm-hmm. It might turn out to be anything. I did a commission piece for a friend of mine. He wanted me to do like a graffiti image of his daughter, you know, and it took me maybe 10, maybe 15 drawings to get it. But the first three drawings were pandas for some reason. One of them was holding and then another one ended up doing a lion and I just draw and I'll be drawing something going, okay, and I'm drawing a teenage girl for a friend of mine. And hey, but that would make a really cool. But, and next thing you know, I've got something completely different.
Yeah, but the artist's mind, this is what I always, when I have to explain myself to everybody who doesn't understand the way I think, is I always say to them all the time, it's like, we're always trying to perfect something. I tell people, I could take the greatest picture in the world, and I guarantee by the next day, I'm like, fuck it, it sucks. I can do better, and I'm going to keep just I never let up. Like, and you just want to keep going, and you might finish it, and you might go. If you look back at it a week or a month later, you're like, oh.
Well, when I was at school, because obviously by the time I'd got to what I call secondary school, so I'd been 11. I'd been drawing for quite a while, and I'd got a real style, and I'd got a real this is how I draw. And when we were taking our what we call O levels, I don't know what you call them over here, but that's your main qualification before you go into university.
I have no idea what
that is. I know exactly what he's talking
about. The British are very smart. I have no idea what that is.
So when I started taking, when I obviously chose art as one of my subjects. I love art, and you know, and you have to draw these certain things. And I was like, sorry, what? And they were like, well, this is what you need to draw for your exam. I'm like, no. I know I'm 11 and you're my teacher, but you don't tell me what to draw. Right. I drawing doesn't come from a piece of paper that I'm telling. Right. What the? And so, you know, well, you need to do this. And they were going to fail me. But some guy over at the O-level board was like, he's right. He's, you know, because, you know, you put all your arts
sounds like
up.
It sounds like Dead Poets Society.
But
the beginning of the movie, so, they tried to rate poems like on a scale of 1 to 10.
Yeah, and it was crazy.
That's what I love about art. That's what I say to everybody.
Your first piece has to be flowers. Right. And I'm like, no, my first piece is some guy, you know, it's a cartoon of a guy coming over a cliff with the sun behind him, blasting on a bike.
Yeah, holding a big heart on.
But they're like, they're like, no, but that's not part of the curriculum. I was like, fuck the curriculum. This is how I'm drawing. This is what I do.
And I did the same thing actually in high school because we didn't have a photo class or anything like that. So there was an art teacher that allowed me to do an independent study photography thing. And it's the mid-90s. And she's, you need to do this and do this. And she didn't know a lot about photography. I'm shooting guess ads. That's all I'm doing is this high contrast, black and white. And usually most photo students start off with not knowing what contrast is and going, wait, no, I'm going through and showing the ads. Here's Claudia Schiffer. Here's, you know, Anna Nicole Smith. Here's what I am doing. No, sorry. And she went through and was attempting to fail me. And I went off. And I ended up taking independent study photography. Mm-hmm. I took a D and then went to art school. And I've been doing photography for 15 years. I saw the woman 10 years ago and was just like, hey, I'm still, you know, blah, blah. I was like, you were wrong. And I was kind of a dick about it. So your stuff doesn't really, in most cases, doesn't exist anymore.
No.
Do you take photos of it?
Yes. Yes, I do. I run a website called Bombed Out LA, which is not only my stuff. It's a great place to go to, actually, just if you're trying to describe graffiti or art in general. I think you can be there for an hour and not come away with what the hell is this guy talking about. But yeah, I run a website called bombedoutla.com, which is all the graffiti that I find that I like, that speaks to me, that I think, wow, that's impressive.
There's another project I just heard about last month. Some guy did it in New York, and he just did it in LA, where he went around and put up signs from famous rap lyrics. So if a rap song named a certain street corner or a certain place, lyrics up at the place.
But I do. How many times do I do that? Whenever I go past Fatburger, I start singing Ice Cube.
But this guy, no, Inglewood, it was so funny though. But this guy did it all over New York, and then I just remember on NPR, and he talked about how he just did it in LA. But he puts these signs up, and he said that they don't last long because now that everybody knows what he's doing, they're stealing all the signs.
Well, kind of similar but different. When Banksy did the whole New York thing, there was, you know, you could follow him on Instagram, you could follow him on his website, and it was, this is what he's done. And there was a lot of talk about, there's talk that he's going to, you know, zip backwards and forwards from LA and do some stuff in LA. Yeah. So I did a load of fake Banksys and put them on various things, and they would vanish. They would be gone within like 24 hours. And it was just a case of, okay, I know, because I went to see his, it was at Mocha when he was part of the whole Mocha show. So I took some photographs. I'm like, no worry, I can rip that off. And so I had, you know, quick stencil, 2 seconds, sprayed it on like a mattress in our back street, came back the next day, someone had cut it out. I'm like, okay, that's interesting. So I took another piece. I did the elephant with the missile on his back. That took me like an hour, didn't it? And went outside, sprayed it on a piece of wood, you know, attached to wood. Came out the next morning, gone. I'm like, awesome. These people, there are people in LA that think that they've got, hey, look, I've got this Banksy original.
Yeah, exactly.
No, that was me when I was drunk.
Yeah, exactly.
I was drunk and just cut it out the stencil, and it was just kind of like awesome.
Smart, though. It's smart. It's like, because it's almost like he's taking the piss out of art. You're taking the piss out of him.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, it all comes around, Banksy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I should check eBay and places like that for people out based in, or Craigslist for people. Exactly. An original Banksy.
Yeah, exactly.
No, original drunk. Yeah, a different drunken Englishman.
Now where can you or where do you go if you want to see great graffiti art in the streets? Where do you go? What parts of town that are
Melrose is epic. The back alleys of Melrose. So just go on Melrose, park your car, go down any back alley, and the back alleys run parallel.
Look at my alley right behind my place.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, there's stuff that from people all over the world come up. Mm-hmm. The guy I'm really into at the moment is a guy called Smug, who's from Glasgow, and he's one of those. He does. It's like a painting. No, it's like a photo. I mean, he will do a person, and I just stand there looking at him, going, how's he done that? I don't know. My brain hurts because they're that amazing. It looks like he has literally taken a photograph and pasted it to the wall. But he's done it with a spray can.
Yeah.
And he's got stuff in the back streets of Melrose, and there's a few Risk loads by the Seventh Letter, who are like a big graffiti crew. They've just opened a store up near here, by the way. I should go.
There's all sorts of stuff. Then there's as long as I've been on Melrose here for 20
years. CBS crew are huge. There's loads of stuff.
There's been all sorts of stuff here through the years I've seen, because I've lived on this street for 28 years now. And there's all sorts of crazy. It goes through the fades of the different things. Some art comes and goes, and every once in a while you're driving down, and you're like, that's new. I didn't see that one. And
yeah, every time we come, I've got something. Yeah. There's something different. But it's all on bombedoutla.com. You should check it out.
Now, have you ever? And I was just thinking about this. Obviously, Melrose, the back alley, has to be accepting of this because they know. Yeah, yeah. But have you ever been busted, or have you ever been? Have you gone to jail for it?
Once, nearly, and if it wasn't for Kylie. I was getting out the car, unpacking spray cans and everything. Guy pulled up behind me in unmarked plates. And she was like, that's a policeman. And I was just kind of like, and he was getting out the car coming towards me. And I dove in the car and we just drove off. And
I don't want to be no Rodney King.
Yeah. No, I'm expecting it was from the early days of porn when you had to look out for those type of people and then dodge and burn and run. Yeah. Go, oh, shit.
And to be honest, most of the work that I've been doing recently has been gallery based, just because it's just blown up to, I'm a whore.
Hey,
aren't we all?
Sorry.
I tell people all the time, as an artist, you have to balance out art and commerce.
Uh-huh. People want to buy. I mean, I've sold stuff, I've sold stuff to people, Steven Tyler. Whoopi Goldberg has got more of my art pieces than anybody else. She's got 10, awesome. Which is pretty cool.
Nice.
So most of my stuff recently has been gallery-based.
Yeah, no, it's the way to go. That's what you want to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't care. I played the Starving Artist game, but 10 years too long. I made that mistake. I said, there's a point. Yeah, it's fun to starve and be creative and go crazy, but then comes a point, you know what? You want to make a living at this and you want to pay the bills.
Yeah, you can't eat...
Get yourself some freedom.
So you can't eat inspiration.
No, you can't.
Nice. just a funny story, though, just going back to what you were saying earlier. I once... the first big piece I did, it was 4 foot by 3 foot, and I've got the kind of this character that I do that I call School Guy, and it's basically a guy who's got a school and a spray can, big baggy pants. I spray paint. The other big shoes and big hands. But anyway, so I was
a small penis.
Yeah. So I tried just practicing on a piece of wood that I found in my back street, and I did this huge one. Just purely as let's see how big I can do it. Just free hands. So I did this, and it was and coloured it in and stood back, and I'm like, wow, I should do big things more often. That's absolutely epic. Anyway, so I ended up taking it down just to show...
Bigger
is better. So I was showing the guy, I was at a gallery in West Hollywood at the time, so I was showing the guy, I was like, I'm going to go, look, I did this big, just practicing. He's like, you should frame that. And I'm like, I should frame it. It's pretty good, huh? Mm. So anyway, it was for some ridiculous amount of money. Some guy comes in, some rich Texan dude, and then stood there with the gallery owner and told the story behind this painting about how the artist was feeling this, and the guy's come back from the dead to make his mark on the world. Told this whole story. I'm like, whatever, yeah. Just pay me. Just give me the money. And so he bought this paint, which he must love, because he absolutely would not stop raving about it, about what I was trying to... And I just didn't have the heart to say, I was practicing.
Yeah,
that was the motivation, was I wonder how big I can do this.
But that's what makes me laugh. It's the king with no clothes. It's like everybody's like, oh my God, the king's amazing. And it takes one person to go, no, the king's naked. And it's like the whole hype bullshit. Uh-huh. And that's why I say, living in LA all these years and all the hype and all the bullshit, everybody talks about it all the time. And so this is a great art. artist and this is a great photographer. This is, it's like, you know, most of it's just bullshit. And, and you know, call me in 10 years or 20 years and then we'll talk about it. But the art world people, though, they need to hear that story.
They do. They really
They want to know. Like, that's what I, when I sell photos all the time, people want to know the story behind it.
Yeah.
And you should, if you go to my site, you'll see, like, I tell the stories behind all these photos constantly, like, because people want to know the stories. But
well, it's, I went to, my sister was over here on holiday, and we went over to, name's gone straight, the big, oh, what's it called? The Getty.
The Getty,
that's it. I'll get there in the end. I'm English, bear with me. and we went round all the, some of the paintings they have there are incredible. Mm. And the descriptions are, this is a guy who did it, and it was in 15, whatever. Yeah. And then suddenly you get to the newer paintings, and it's literally like they've been done by a child, but the descriptions are 10 pages long.
Exactly.
It's like, okay, you need to read to, okay. Yeah. Whereas the classics, you just stand there and look at them.
I know. Like, my favorite painting I always loved was Botticelli's Springtime, near the Angels. I saw it at the Uffizi in Florence. First time, I saw it twice. First time I saw it, I was in tears because it's gigantic.
Yeah.
And I was just like, wow, this is amazing, Uffizi. It was like the gallery itself is a work of art. But I love big. I love big.
Yeah.
And I tell people all the time,
it's
go
more
big.
It's confusing. It kind of blows your mind more.
Yeah. And I'm hoping to do an exhibition this year, and we want to do everything gigantic, like big. I want to put it in everybody's face.
You're going all Richard Avedon on that, because he did a huge show.
He used to do it all the time.
It always fascinates whenever I see, you know, really big graffiti. Like, there's a few things that Risk has been commissioned for downtown. And I'd love to just, you know, sit there and go, okay, because I can't work out how you did it that big. I, you know, do you have to stop? And, you know, because whenever I do my art, I'm looking back at it and going, have I, okay, change that. I'm like, are you having to go like four blocks back and go, no, I need to do it slightly more on the left. You get back to
they
the
got
wall.
Some guy with a walkie-talkie down the blocks. Left dude, left a little too heavy on the left side. Its head's a little bit out of proportion. Fix it.
And yet they do these things, and it's just kind of like, big is impressive.
Wow.
Well, since we can't see it necessarily big all the time, we can see it on your website. Again, it is bombedoutla.com.
Yeah.
Perfect. Well, I encourage everybody to go take a look at it, because I will. This is the first time I'm hearing about this website.
Oh, I didn't know you didn't know.
I did not know. We're finding out so many things about each other. That
every
we day's
a
know.
School day.
It is. Where else can we find you? Are you on the Twitter and such?
I am on the Twitter. It's twitter.com/. She hates it when I say that. /TheAndyAppleton. The Andy Appleton.
The.
Andy with a Y. I'm not strange. I don't know. It's not A-N-D-I.
Funny, last night, Alex Chance explained to me that it was, in fact, the Appleton as well. Because as I was tweeting you, it always just pops up. So, well, I appreciate you coming out. And again, this has been More with Mo. I don't even know my own show. This has been More with Mo. My name's Mo Reese. You can find me on the Twitter as well, at MOXX, or the Mox, as some people like to call me. And you can also check out my blog, theaveragemo.com, where I post all sorts of fun BTS pics from the shoots that I work on. Have a great day.